From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 16th day of September 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. The folks at the Andersons will join us to look at the cash grain market, and we'll talk about the weather forecast with the guys up at Chesapeake Energy. They're in Chicago, Illinois. Along the way, we'll hear the latest thinking from USDA NASS, as it was reported on our Commodity Week program, about the upcoming October report for WASD and what the grain stocks or September 30th report might do to that report. It's not all that confusing, but it does take some thinking, so we'll go through it one more time this afternoon on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
In Chicago for a Monday afternoon, futures finished the day lower, led down by the bean pit. It lost about 30 cents on the day, but let's start with the soft red winter wheat as usual. December contract, 641 and a quarter, finished a quarter lower. And July of next year at 654, down 2.5 cents. The hard red July down 4.5 at $6.86¾. From the corn pit, Chicago nearby corn, 456.5, down 2.5. March at 469, 2.5 lower. May corn at 477 and a quarter, down 2.25, and July at $4.83 and 3/4, 2.5 cents lower. December contract of next year at $4.95 and 3/4, 2¾ of a cent lower. November beans, here's where the real losses came, down 33.5 cents at $13.48 and a quarter. January futures at $13.48 and a quarter as well. They finished down 31.5. The March contract, $13.22, down 25 and a quarter, and the May soybeans, $12.94 and a half, down 20.5 cents. July contract, $12.88 and 3/4, finished 18 and a quarter lower. And next year's November at $11.76. That's for 2014. It finished 5 cents higher on the day. Bean meal futures at $4.31.20 were down $13.40, and the bean oil finished 21 cents lower at $4.42.13 on the day. Live cattle futures in the October at $125.55, up 30 cents. December at $129.22.5, up 7.5. September feeders at $157.60, up 30. October at $159.50, up 22.5 cents. And lean hogs for the day finished the October on a Monday afternoon at $90.12.5. That's $1.42.5 higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. October contract, $106.34 a barrel, down $1.87. The Arbobber wholesale price of gasoline, a nickel and a tenth lower at $2.71 and 8 cents. And ethanol futures at $1.78 and a half, up a penny and a tenth for the afternoon. The Arbob to ethanol spread at 93 and 3 tenths of a cent, a 6 and 2 cents of a cent narrower than it was yesterday. And natural gas at 373 and 8 cents. Up 6 and a tenth of a cent. Diesel fuel, $3.06 even, down 5 and 3 tenths. And the gold futures on the day finished $9.40 higher, $1,317.80 a troy ounce. The U.S. dollar at 81.29, down 0.16. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We'll see partly sunny skies, a high of just 69 degrees on a northeast wind at 11 to 13. It'll gust all the way to 17 this afternoon. Then tonight, partly cloudy and a low of 52 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies and 76 on an east-southeast wind at 6 to 8 miles an hour. Tomorrow night, cloudy and a low of 50. And on Wednesday, a 30% chance of rainfall. That'll come after 8 a.m. in the morning. Mostly cloudy and a high of 83 degrees as the winds shift to the south. Wednesday evening, a 30% chance of rain showers continues. Mostly cloudy and 65. We'll up the ante to 40% by the time we get to Thursday with partly sunny skies thereafter and a high of 85 degrees. Thursday evening, showers and thunderstorms as well. Mostly cloudy and 66. That rainfall can continue right into Friday evening, partly sunny, with a high of 80, but there is a chance of rainfall, and that rainfall will continue, as I said, into Friday evening, partly cloudy there at a low of 55, and finally on Saturday, sunny skies and 77 degrees, Saturday night, partly cloudy and 54. More on the weather at the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 16th day of September, 2013. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason on the phone line. Kurt Kimmel, he's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, where he serves as their senior grains analyst. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Now, what does the senior grains analyst say about the 30-cent drop in the soybeans today?
Well, that's a good question.
that is a good question, isn't it?
I might have to ask the junior analyst here. we basically saw a little bit of rain over the weekend here, and that kind of sent the tone that maybe it could help these later beans, and we kind of gapped lower in the overnight opening trade there. And that sort of put the negative feature in there, not able to get up there and close that opening gap in the overnight trade, generated some technical selling. Also, too, we saw the a report come in here that we might see not a big cut in the acres here tomorrow morning
right.
from the FSA, and that led to some selling pressure also, Todd.
Right. I'll take your pot down for just a second. So when you look at tomorrow morning's release, and we're not quite certain that it will happen, of the FSA numbers, it will be an update or should be an update of what they have collected over time. I'm wondering if you think it will have much of an impact on the marketplace and how it will be viewed as we head into the grain stocks and then, of course, the WASD numbers that will be replaced in October.
Well, that's a good question. And I believe that it will be kind of a significant report because that's kind of the top of the supply-demand balance sheet when you look at harvested acres and you multiply that times yield and it can move that production number quite a bit. So it's going to be a pretty important event here. Evidently, somebody feels they're not going to lower those, and so it generated some selling and some profit-taking in the spread there, buying the corn, selling the beans, buying the wheat, selling the beans, putting beans down to support here. But that's kind of the moving target, this acreage, harvested acreage number in particular here. If you look at maybe unchanged harvested acres and just lower yield by a bushel here, it still tightens that bottom line up quite a bit. As we've been talking about all along in here, that supply-demand balance sheet for the beans is a little bit tighter there compared to a year ago on the demand side. They didn't increase demand in proportion like they did the corn. As far as the stocks go, that's kind of old news. We'll see where we end up on that. Basically, old crop stocks were tight. That's why the September contract went off the board at some higher levels here.
Mm-hmm.
Just wasn't a whole lot of supplies around through here, and that's the urgency here between now and 1st of March to get the beans out and satisfy the world demand until the Southern Hemisphere gets online.
You know, the World Agriculture Outlook Board did change the ending stocks for this year. Of course, we'll get to figure out whether NASA agrees with that one, I suppose, at the end of the month, September 30th, and then what the World Ag Outlook Board will do with those for their October report. It's kind of a balancing act over this month period or three to 4 weeks here in September and October, because those numbers can change pretty rapidly.
Yeah, when you do the math on it, this is like we've said all along, it's just moving parts to this equation, and that's going to create a lot of ups and downs in the marketplace, and that's good for the producer. They take advantage of the ups, and you know, speculator, he'll try to buy the downs and sell the ups and take a little out of the middle, which is a lot easier said than done.
You heard about anybody who's running either in beans or corn?
Yeah, a lot of reports. It seems on corn, a lot of 180 to 200. Now, there's some yields much, much higher than that in some areas. But for the most part, you know, 200 bushel with the idea that maybe later on that could come down. As far as beans go, a lot of 50 to 60 bushel reports is what we picked up here, but not as many beans being harvested as what we're hearing on corn.
On either side of that coin, it's better than many had expected it might be just a month ago.
Yeah, we've talked to guys who, you know, in some of these drier areas have missed some of these rains, and grant this is early harvest activity. They were hoping for 140, 150, and it's coming in that 190 bushel area. So pleasant surprise thus far. Now, as we move along, we'll hear additional reports, but right now the trading a 1 to 2 bushel increase in the corn yield, Todd.
Anything for the livestock producer today?
Well, hogs continue to defy the law of gravity up front here. These Octobers zoomed on up above this 91 area. Overall, hog demand remains robust, but we feel we're going to get into much bigger supply situation as we get into the December contract.
Okay, thanks much.
Very good. Take care.
Mm-hmm. Kirk Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens on this Monday afternoon.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Hey, if you have not visited our website lately, please do that. Do so. That's at willag.org. A couple of other things that you might do if you're a Twitter user. You can follow my Twitter account at Commodity Week or Dave's Twitter account as well. He's at David A. Dickey. Keep up with what we're doing and what we're hearing about the marketplace on Twitter. Right now, up on the Ag Notes section at willag.org, some interesting things that came from the USDA NASS. We'll hear a bit of it in just a moment. Conversation that we had during Commodity Week with Joe Persaki. We hope that you'll visit our website. The address again is willag.org. You can find that at willag.org.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Two chances this week, by the way, for you to catch up with either Dave and I as we're out and about with our WILAG panels. Tomorrow evening, I'll be in Belleville at the St. Clair County Farm Bureau building at 6:30. And on Thursday, Dave will be in Mazan. That one also, I believe, starts at 6:30. Catch up with us for one of our WILAG panels. You can find details on the Ag Outlook section of our website. Speaking of Dave, he's here now with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, the Federal Reserve is expected on Wednesday to take its first step toward reducing the stimulus it's supplied to help the U.S. economy rebound from its deepest crisis since the Great Depression. For months, the Fed has said it will slow its $85 billion a month in Treasury and mortgage bond purchases once the outlook for the job market has improved substantially. Many economists think the Fed will announce when its two-day policy meeting ends on Wednesday that it will slow its purchases by $10 billion to $75 billion a month. The pullback is expected to come from the Fed's Treasury purchases. It will likely maintain the pace of its mortgage bond buying to try to keep home loan rates down to sustain the housing rebound. Analysts expect the Fed to downgrade its economic outlook for 2013 from its previous forecast in June. That forecast estimated that the economy would grow at a still sluggish annual rate between 2.3% and 2.8% this year. Through the first 6 months of 2013, the economy has grown at a much slower 1.8% rate. This morning, USDA released export grain inspections. They look like this for wheat, 46.024 million bushels. The trade, though, anticipating only 24 to 29 million. for corn export inspections were 20.111 million bushels versus trade anticipations of between 11 and 14 million bushels. And for soybeans, export inspections were 2.972 million bushels versus expectations of 3 to 5 million bushels. The Federal Reserve today says that U.S. factories increased output in August by the most in 8 months. The Federal Reserve says manufacturing production rose 0.7% last month from July. Automakers increased production 5.2% after a 4.5% decline in July. And factories stepped up production of other goods, including computers, electronics, furniture, and business equipment. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. And tomorrow evening's Belleville, Illinois, Will Ag Outlook panel. It starts at 6:30 at the Farm Bureau building there in St. Clair County. Our panelists include Matt Bennett from TGM, Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson, and Mike Zuzula, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Again, we'll be at the Farm Bureau building tomorrow evening at 6:30 in Belleville, Illinois. The sponsor is Wiffles Hybrids. And then on the 19th, or Thursday evening, Dave will be up in Mazan. This one's sponsored by the Grundy County Farm Bureau. He'll be there along with Jerry Goodell of Rice Dairy and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, who you just heard, and Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing. So we have a busy week. If you're in the western or southwestern part of the state of Illinois, over near Belleville, join me tomorrow evening. Up in the northern part of the state of Illinois, northeastern part of the state, near Mazan, you can join Dave on Thursday evening. Now, up next, at the end of this month, USDA will release its final tally of how much corn is left on hand in the United States from last year. It's a big report, and one farmers and marketers know will set the tone for the price of crops like corn. I'll have more on what changes are already being anticipated in Washington, D.C. USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service is responsible for keeping track of the number of bushels of corn and soybeans in the United States. Those numbers are estimated in the crop production and grain stocks reports. The agency works in concert with the World Agricultural Outlook Board, that's the WAOB. The board reports the supply and demand tables for commodities in its WASD, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate. The September WASD report showed a drop in the ending stocks for corn from 2012-2013, or last year's corn crop. USDA NASA's director of the Statistics Division, Joe Persaki, says the change is in anticipation of what his agency, NAS, will report out in the September grain stocks report. That'll be released September the 30th.
When the December 2012, it was January 12th, but the December 1 grain stocks report, that's the beginning stocks for the 2012 crop. And then the January or the March report, that's, you know, a midpoint correction, and the June report is a midpoint correction. So they're looking at that. And then the September grain stocks that we publish, that number will be the ending stocks for last year, you know, for the 2012-2013 crop. So they're trying to forecast out what that's going to be.
If the changes reflected in the September World Agricultural Outlook Board's WASD figures are not reflected in the grain stocks report released at the end of this month, then Joe Persaki says the October WASD figures will be updated once again.
That's a true statement.
Persaki made his comments last Friday while a guest on Commodity Week. It's a radio program produced at the University of Illinois. One other note from our conversation with Persaki. When asked, he mentioned this year by the maturity stats seems analogous to 2008 and 2009. We pulled the October crop production reports to see what the changes looked like in those 2 years for corn. The 2008 October crop production report showed corn production forecast at 12 billion bushels, down slightly from the September forecast. The 2009 October crop production report showed corn production forecast at 13 billion bushels, up slightly from the September crop production report number. Therefore, not much change from September to October in either of the analogous years. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Hey, by the way, if you'd like to hear the entire interview with Joe Prasocki, you can do that in the Ag Notes section. That's actually on the front page of our Will Ag website at the moment. It's the first story there. Visit WILLAG.org, and you can hear the front end of Commodity Week from September the 13th. That was last Friday. Our guest, of course, Joe Prasocki, who was with and remains with USDA NASS, talking a great deal about the numbers that were released last week and looking forward, of course, to both the grain stocks and the October crop production and WASDE figures. On the phone line now with us to take a look at the cash grain market, the folks from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. At least I hope they are. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing very, very well. So tell me if anybody's hauling in today or not.
We've got just a couple loads in today, and that's been pretty much it. So,
what's the percentage on them?
Still looking. Actually, these were 22-23% today.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, but this was pretty early planted stuff. So,
any good?
Haven't got a final yield number yet. A little light test weight is what we've been seeing. We've only taken in, just like I said, very little last week and this week. So the what we've been seeing is pretty light test week for these earlier loads, but still looks pretty good.
Is it in range? Is what is it, 52, 50?
Yeah, 52, 53 has been some of what we've gotten in. I mean, some stuff has been a little bit better, but it's spotty, you know. So.
So still qualifies as number two yellow or number one?
Still Mo's number two, so we're good. Just a little, not as heavy as what most folks would like. So.
All right, that's good. Now, what have you seen in basis for the week so far?
Basis levels have been hard to get, actually. Processors are still in the market. We still are looking at a truck market. It's hard to get a real bid at this point. Both corn and beans have been fading as we go through, but we still are seeing a premium for September compared to all fall bids.
Do you suppose they're getting just enough that's coming in by truck on their own that they don't really need to go hunting at the moment, or did they fill up at some point?
You know, it feels like a little bit of both. I think when they were paying very high overs, they've got some coverage on, so a lot of people might have shorted some of that and got coverage from stuff moving from the south as well as in this area. So a lot of positions have been covered, but still, you know, trying to make sure that they keep rolling. So.
And you have first half, second half September bids?
We do. We have a buy September 20th bid on corn and then an all September bid. We're looking at option the D's for buy September 20 corn and option the no for all September beans.
And how are you splitting October up anyway at all?
October, we're looking at all fall today. So look for that to potentially change. But right now, that's what we're looking at.
Well, that was really my question. Do you think that one will change or not?
It just depends on when we really start getting hit with corn and soybeans, to tell you the truth. I'm thinking we probably will be looking at an October-November bid for fall at this point. Sounds like we're a couple weeks out,
yeah.
2 weeks out. But once we start getting hit, then people should go to all fall.
What are you thinking, October, 1st of October, October 5, really, for harvest to start?
Yeah, I'd say 1st of October.
Okay, thanks much. What are your bids actually for the day?
Yes, by September 20th, we're 456. All fall corn, 446. January, 456. September soybeans, 1348. All fall, 1336. And January soybeans, 1343. Cash wheat's at 611 today.
Thanks so much, Amy.
Thank you.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons, joins us here on the Closing Market Report, back in just 2 minutes.
It's National Cinnamon Raisin Bread Day. It's also Feast of St. Cornelius, patron of cattle and domestic animals. On this day in agricultural history in 1630, the town of Shawmut changed its name to Boston. If not for this, we might be eating Shawmut baked beans and Shawmut cream pie. In 1736, Daniel Gabriel Fahrenheit died. Fahrenheit, a German physicist, invented the Fahrenheit temperature scale thermometer. It was the first thermometer to use mercury instead of alcohol, which also extended the temperature range of thermometers. He also discovered that each liquid has a different boiling point that would change with atmospheric pressure. In 1903, Luther Crowell died, an American inventor. He obtained over 280 patents and perhaps is best known for designing a machine to make the square bottom paper bag still in use today. And in 1919, Marvin P. Middlemark was born. He invented the TV rabbit ear antenna and, among other minor inventions, a water-powered potato peeler. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
It is a Monday afternoon. Let's check the weather forecast now with Mark Russo. He's at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
What a change a week makes. It's kind of cold, actually, outside today. At least it feels like that. I suppose if I had been outside for quite some time, it might not be too bad. But gray skies and cooler temperatures. What can you tell me about the week ahead?
Well, Todd, it's a meteorological fall. What did you expect here with our mid-September weather? But after this dramatic change from the more midsummer weather that we experienced last week, yeah, certainly a dramatic change to much cooler conditions. And although temperatures will remain on the cool side for another couple of days, we do see temperatures rebounding. And in fact, by the end of this week, readings will be high is back in the 80s, warmer than normal for this time of year, and that looks to persist by and large through the end of the month. So we continue to be in this general warm bias pattern, although there's a bit more variability in temperatures and obviously not as anomalous as what we saw back last week in the first half of September.
There was a little rainfall over the weekend. I know I was in Peoria and it rained there, and I took a quick look and looks like that was a pretty widespread shower from one side of the nation to the other, but not from north to south.
Yeah, certainly the northern half of Illinois or so got the most significant rains here over the weekend. We do see more opportunities coming up as the pattern is more conducive for producing precipitation across Illinois, let alone much of the Corn Belt. It's not all-encompassing rains coming up, but certainly a much more active pattern. For example, coverage of rainfall this week, we're forecasting at about 40 to 50% of the Midwest. Next week looks to be about 65% coverage. And obviously there's a big change from the past few weeks, which had featured only about 10 to 20% coverage of the Corn Belt.
There starts to be a point in the fall where farmers say, hey, wait a second, I just soon it not rain, or at least not very much. Is this kind of a dampening rain as opposed to a big slog?
Well, in certain pockets, it'll be more of a slug here, but again, that's going to come down exactly to convective nature of individual rain events and individual cells within these systems coming through. But still, it's a gradual wetter pattern. It's not an abrupt switch to well above normal precip pattern. But that's something at least to watch here going forward. And the question we're asking is this more a friendly pattern for rainfall? Is this the start of a wetter than normal pattern that looks to prevail throughout the autumn period? And at least at the present time, it doesn't appear that that's going to be the way.
No, that's probably a very good answer for many of the producers. Turn your attention very quickly to South America. What's the start of their growing season look like?
Term it okay across South America. There's still some dryness in portions of Argentina. And while there has been improvement in rains in Argentina lately, it's not totally eradicating the dryness. So that's something to watch here going forward.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome, Dad.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, and helps us wrap up this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.